Blog Talk Radio.
Job working as an intern with Will Smith.
Yes.
You say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me and you said, no, Sunday is...
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Craig Evans, Biblical Bible
scholar. He's a biblical Bible scholar. We made a statement based upon the one name, the four letters, and he made a final statement on the compass mind, and I want to make sure he's legit. His name is Craig Evans. He's a biblical Bible scholar out of Houston. I need to make sure a little bit more about him before we continue down. Dr. Craig Evans of Houston, Texas. Check him out, and we'll peep at him in a minute, and then we'll see exactly which way we'll go with Dr. Craig Evans, the biblical Bible scholar, on the name of YHWH. The biblical Bible scholar, he say, on the name of YHWH. We'll find out a little bit more about him later. We're going to scroll down the international side to see who all joining us and see exactly what we can see and what we can get into on tape number 22. We're going to scroll down the international side and get a little peek and see how many international countries have logged in. And all the slots are spilled, so that's 195 international countries. And that's a good thing. And what's flashing from New York on the international side is 101727. And we'll find out what that means later on through Mr. Tibbs. 101727. We'll get that going on. Remember one thing, C. Ray, voices of the two Israelites get hit on every side, and everything we say, it be scrutinized big time. And but one thing about it, we in this to take care of Yahuwah's business soundly, no doubt about it, and we're going to do that job, and we will track down the whole this series. We will lay the foundation and bring it right up and put it into contemporary, if that's a word. But we have to expose things, and we will not go against the bishops, the cardinals of color, because they have to know their history first, not what they have been told is correct. So we're not going to fall into that by those. The biblical Bible of Christianity have been put on the seer for the seer to make a statement, and he ain't going to do it. But we will say one thing. If the black cardinals of the Catholic Church will first wait until we put the case on first pertaining to this series, before you come up with a conclusion, let me lay out the foundation first on the way the Almighty give it to us to do it. Then let's see what you say after we lay the foundation on things that have not been told even in your history books, but to a few. So let us lay that out first, then make the statement, what are you trying to do after we lay the foundation? So we're just going to put that to the side, and we're going to lay the foundation out first, pertaining to exactly what the Roman Catholic Church have did and what they did to the world. We're going to lay it out first, then line up, and let's see which way this thing goes. Give me that opportunity before we get hemmed up. Because this forces of the two Israelites, we're going to win this one. This is our win right here, and we're going to identify it soundly, no doubt about it. All right, enough saying on that. We're going to see if we can find some tips and get him started, you know, bring this broadcast on. And then we acknowledge that Dr. Craig Evans, the biblical Bible scholar, on the name that he found, the name YHWH, but it was in Greek text, he says, but they left the name YHWH, even in Greek text, and that is the original name. So now Dr. Evans did make that profound statement on a compass line. That is the original name. But we want to make sure he's legit too. So we're going to check out Dr. Craig Evans by Brother Yahdai Israel shortly. So 195 international countries in the room. And was flashing 101727. So we bring his tips in and we'll get him on. Let you know, we'll bring his broadcast on. Then we'll see what Yahweh wants to be put on take number 22. And like we tell all the Catholics, bishops, let us first lay the foundation first. And we'll show things that have been did in writing, documentation, and everything. Then you make your statement. And when you line up, you line up on the right side, because we know, according to history, that all nations going to break out running, and sooner or later, they're going to be trying their best to find the six anointed camps of bosses of the true Israelites. That's why we have to soundly lay this in, soundly, and sit back and watch things from the pages of the book. So we'll leave that out like it is right there. When you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, "Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh be with you, there, Seed Roy."
And Yahweh bless you, Brother Israel, Seed Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mr. Tibbs. Got a fine audience in. Got a lot of big dignitaries in the room, too, as we speak. 195 international countries, 101727 is flashing. Mr. Tibbs, you take your time and let me check a couple of these memos out, and we'll see what we can lay in on part number 22. The world is listening. Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And you're absolutely 100% correct in saying about a foundation. Because everything that we do has a foundation, which is the start. And for the 1,727 people, we've all came to hear the things that most of us here can hear. And we do understand it. And some listening never can place it in existence. And to see those things that most of us can see and some can never find. I seen that over the weekend. And to touch those things that most of us can touch and others can never feel. For the wicked can do none of these things. And you say, why? Because it's the words of Yahweh which makes all this and more possible for the righteous, which starts with a righteous foundation. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Yahweh is against them that do evil." 13. "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Well, as I've said many times before, which is becoming very obvious, there's a lot of us that come for the good of Yahweh's word, and we receive it. And those of us with wisdom commend it, and we add unto it. But that's not so for others. Some just come to see who all is attending, who's talking about what, and who they like and don't like. And I know that there's many out there that have seen just as much as I. These are the people that have to realize that we're here for one reason, and that's for the word of Yahweh. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry, coming to you live and opening to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, about Yahweh's word, your health, foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have knocked, and you came to seek, and you found that which you have sought in Yahweh's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days we're open is Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath, for the members that know, is Friday from 6:30 to 9:30 until the temple members desire to leave. the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m., once again, till the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your current smart devices. Right on the search line, what you want to do is enter www.tribeyhdh.com. Just under that big iron, you're going to see some choices. One of these choices is going to be tithes and offering. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, it may appear to be a little different. This time under the line, you may see menu. Clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still follow the same instructions as you did for previous use. Doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahuwah, O your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength." 8, "Give unto the Yahuwah glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." I always remind everyone when doing this to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Live. Also, to build a school, banquet hall, and the land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, check the calendar. Keep yourself and family in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. For the live program, this is another feature which is only available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We currently have two email addresses. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh, @gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject, or related topics that can be answered. The other is yhdhysraeal@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We have a few numbers also to reach Yahuwah's ministry. Considerably think to use them before broadcast time or afterwards as not to disturb Yahuwah's words. We have a few verses from the Bible that explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "Answer not before thou have heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk." In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26 says, "If any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his or her tongue, but deceiveth his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain." Well, there's still those out there that do the opposite of what the scriptures say. Even now, while I'm talking, can't believe it. They call doing a program announcement or cause disruptions when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I suppose they may not be familiar with what Yahuwah the Son has said in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, "Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, You do error, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of Yahuwah." Also, we find it necessary to mention, please by no means contact the seer for questions directly via voicemail, email, or text. He is generally usually pretty busy answering many memos, as most of us have seen, even thoughts of having just a memo show, as he's mentioned. Responding to the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man. And the most important thing that he's doing is preparing Yahuwah's lesson before our program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you all for your consideration. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah and mine The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, as I previously mentioned. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by one of our six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But, again, not this year. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation of 100% and found that this is impossible, as quoted in Matthew 19:26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except, of course, Fridays. This program is repeated at 9:45 p.m. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of those devices. Right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking it, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Again, I find it necessary to mention we're in the process of making it possible to get a CD or DVD recording of any one of our programs. Just call for information on our international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, today is another day, once again, for the exciting word of Yahuwah. Nothing has changed except the number of people that come to hear Yahuwah's words and those that only want to hear certain verses in the Bible. Following by those taking the verses meaning another way. You know, we see that too often where people read the Bible and they have their own interpretation for what it means. That's pretty ridiculous. And also along with the noisemakers, complainers, wanting to be a deceptive listener, flipping the pages in the Bible to look like they're paying attention. But when you ask them to speak the words of Yahuwah, they are completely lost. They've clearly forgotten we are only one man or one woman. And seriously thinking about this, time is not in our favor. But the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what one man or one woman can do that was Yahuwah created in this life. And that if that's all possible. Because if anyone says they've even done 101%, they just lie. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahuwah's creation. That's impossible. Don't forget what Yahuwah the Son said about the impossible in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. 26 says, "But Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible." So we're finding out, and some people are still learning. The Bible tells us that a man or woman are measured by their works, the things we think, do, and say. And we see a lot of that. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18, 18 says, "Yea, a man or woman may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And also in the book of James, you look in chapter 1, verse 25. 25 says, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therewith, then he or she not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man or woman shall be blessed in his or her deeds." Well, remember, as you listen to this program, and also as you attend any, I should say, service of learning, a teacher always has to show worthiness, because the teacher that opens the door for his students, remember, he has to walk through it himself. Because there are those that ask questions for learning and those that ask questions just to see if they can trip you up. This is why I always remind everyone a teacher can't learn from his students, but already having knowledge, he gains even more experience by teaching because he already knows. Now, a student also can learn from a good teacher, possibly learning to share with others what he has learned, if he keeps his book open and take notes. At this particular time, I will turn our program back to our seer Israel. Keep in mind the things I've said. It requires great thought. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hello, Yahweh there. Mr. Tibbs, that's excellent on your part. All these memos is, like I said again, the international line is very important to leave the message, and somebody will get back to you if they'll flood me at the last minute on these memos and these concerns while we were trying to listen. That, and we'll do our part. Remember one thing, we own 6 nights a week, so we will do our part to get the message over to you. And we're gonna swing down to Detroit and see, do she have anything added to what she brought to the table last week based upon the corn and whatever biblically that she have came up with, and why we go pick her up. Brother Yagdai Israel, look up Mike Acina, Aquilina, because he the one that got in contact with Craig Evans. Whatever he is, we'll find out more about him. But this is, Mike was telling him that you need to, and we talked on the conference line, and you need to hear this guy because he's saying some things that maybe you're going to have to step in there with him. Mike Acina, Aquilina, and he's coming out of, he's a Catholic, well, whatever he is, you tell me whatever he is. Mike Acina, Aquilina. He's an author and a writer, and he the one got in contact with Craig Evans, and Craig Evans supposed to been done and found some archaeology in the Dead Sea Scrolls. He found some books that was written in Hebrew, but he said written in Greek. He said, but one thing that astonishes him, that although it was written in Greek, they left the original name YHWH in the manuscript. Although Nahon, Habakkuk, so he is the author that finding all these books in Greek, but what he was astonished about, they still kept the name YHWH in this historical finding by this biblical Bible scholar out of Houston, Texas, according to the Compass Line. But we'll find out a little bit more about you, too. So both of these, and like we said, we will be soundly laying in the foundation step by step on how that we got into this, in this series. So we will be laying it out step by step on missing information that need to be known before the pastors of color argue back and forth. And like I said, I'm not going to argue with you on them compass lines. Just give me time, and I will lay out the whole program step by step. And then you, once we laid out this series, then you can make your conclusion. But right now, I don't think you're in position to argue back and forth without hearing the other side of the record, because we have always been receiving one side of a record, and we go to one side, but remember, everything have a check and a balance. And bosses of the two Israelites, the six anointed camps, we are the balance of the check. Now, if it's good stuff, we'll go with it. And we also got this memo. What did memo say? Okay. Bocop Malone, B-O-C-O-B Malone, Christian author, an expert on Hebrew Israelites. He's an expert. Bocop Malone, he's an expert on Hebrew Israelites. And he is the one that will champion on the Hebrew Israelites education religion. Bocap Malone. Malone says that what did he say here? Malone says handfully on the NFL champions have told him they have been cut off by former players who have embraced the Hebrew Israelites, that embraced the Hebrew Israelite teaching. So Bocap Malone is to straighten them out on the Hebrew Israelite teaching. So he will be getting a copy of this tape if you talk about Bocap Malone. Bocap Malone, okay. All right, we got a lot of memos here. We got a lot of stuff on the table. So our table, but Bocap Malone and whoever all on the network, just hang still as we lay the foundation down, and then we'll see who's who. But we're going to find Detroit, Michigan, see is there anything possible that she got to add to what she brought to the table last week. And then we'll see, can we start chopping down whatever is on the table biblically and take number 22. So we ride around Detroit, Michigan, see what Detroit, Michigan got going on. So when you meet your sister, Laola Israel, the princess out there in Detroit, Yahqua bless you, see you, Royal.
Yahqua bless you, seer of Israel, see you, Royal. I don't have any additional material at this time. I will have some shortly for another Sabbath study.
Okay, excellent. Cause we rehearse nothing. We rehearse nothing. We comes out exactly. We do nothing rehearsing. We qualify to come on the network and as the program going on. Because we believe in Luke 12:12, he'll let us know what to put on the table. So out there in Detroit, Michigan, Camp 4, she says she have nothing more to add to the purple corn than she already added to it. And then when she gets her in order, she will make a profound statement. And that's what we like about it. We first get our ducks in line up. And matter of fact, before we bring Brother Yagdai in to bring in them scholars, their background to make sure they're legit, I want to kind of talk a little bit about our health again. It's very important. We received a book of Shem's book that is in Shem's book that identify the plants. So we able to identify the plants that sometimes a plant in your backyard, you might not know what it is, but we able to identify by put it out there, and Brother Yagdai picked up on that, and he got a chance to order the books and brought the seal on and put it right in his hand, the Book of Shem, but with another name on it, and that's what we're trying to say. It's always something with another name on it. And but we understand that, and that's what we got to deal with. Many things that got many other names on it. And we got to bring that out. First of all, get everything sit back up biblically. Then we'd be able to break down even what we need to do. But let's talk about the health for a minute, just for a quick minute again. remember one thing. You have to keep this in your mind. This is basically for the one that takes a better half, and a better half means you all the good in the world, but you don't have the knowledge. That's why it's very important to always get counseling from the six anointed counselors. Get counseling. And once you get counseling on what you have to do to keep this man on his feet, and that's a good thing. And in this memo over here, we don't know why this call was not answered to, about I am in a bad, not a bad relationship, but abusive relationship. What can I do about that, see, in this abusive relationship I'm in? Well, see, that's why we have to, you have to be affiliated with the six anointed camps to be able, before you make any types of moves, one of the camps will help you out to understand something that you need to know in a relationship. But we can't cover everything, but we will cover everything. So you're in an abusive relationship, and I need help to know what to do. Well, we only can take that so much at one time. So now, but we wanna, but we would definitely touch on that too, on about abusive relationships that you get in, and how to deal with that too. But well, let's talk. But I want to talk about this health first, about the ones that do take a better half, and what food. Listen to me. When you the food that you prepare, like say for example, the day is Sunday. Before you feed him the Sunday meal, make sure that the Saturday meal have been eliminated. That means he can do a lot of drinking herbal teas or whatever. You have to remove the Saturday meal out of your gut before you go and eat the Sunday meals. So make sure you find out. But if you find out that the food that he have in his system is still in his system, then you have to say, well, you have to be on liquid until that is removed. Then we'll bring in the next day of eating. Because if I let you eat and you got the Saturday meal in your belly, now I'm going to put the Sunday meal in your belly, all every day it's going to cause you to have toxic bilge and cause you all kind of belly problems, and it will also cause you problems that you don't need in your colons, because you're sluggish, you're tired, you fall asleep all the time, you just ain't, your pep is not in your step, and that's because of the previous meals that's still in your belly. You got the herbal teas or whatever it takes to eliminate Saturday's meal, so breakfast might not start until you get rid of Saturday's meal. So breakfast might not start at the time that you normally have breakfast, because if you mess around and take your Sunday breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you still got Saturday in your belly, this is what's going to cause you to have no energy, and you'll be sluggish, dragging your feet. Your colon can't take it. You got to remove Saturday's meal out your body before you feed him Sunday's meal. You got to ask him, have you got rid of Saturday's meal? Well, no. Well, then you need to drink some of this herbal tea and help flush that out. Then you know, what did I give him that why that meal's still on his feet? Why he still got it in the system? What did I feed him? What did I put on the table? Beans, rice, potatoes, eggs. All that right there is food that is high in starch. That but that will stay in your belly longer than green stuff from the ground that's live. Remember, your you is alive. But if you continue to eat dead food and you are alive and eating dead food, what do you think going to happen? By eating dead food. You have to eat live food. Stay with as much starch as you possibly can because that's going to stay in your body. You know, some people's, that I've been told, even from the class members, there's a couple of members in the class that saying that they have a bowel movement once every 2 to 3 weeks. See, right, don't you know that's why Doc Cook is working us over now? You got a bowel movement every once every 2 or 3 weeks. Listen, see, right, that means that the food that you eat from the 17 nation, you got to stop it. Because no food supposed to remain in your body past the 24 hours before you start packing the next meal in your belly. Get rid of the 24 hours that you just got through eating first. And if you find out that food is holding you up, then you have to eliminate that food. That's why we tell you, you got to take the 12 weeks program. By 12 weeks, you got the natural juice, you got the salads with your all types of cucumbers or whatever in there. And what you're trying to do is break up your all that toxins in your belly, all that built-up stuff for years in your belly, years in you. And you'll know when you're on the right track because you have some giddy up, some skippy in your stuff. So if you're still dragging your feet, that means you got to see what is causing your colon to not respond, your liver and your stomach. You know, that's your center, your navel of your body is your stomach. That goes up, down, all through your body. So if you got that clogged up, it can't let out none but toxins going up and down. Heart over pumping itself. So remember one thing. Keep that in your mind. Hey, have you all eliminated the meal I fixed you yesterday? No, not yet. Well, you're not eating right now then. Because I want you around. And I don't want you sluggish around. We got to get that out your belly first before we cook something else. Because if I let you have Friday meal in your belly, Saturday meal in your belly, Sunday meal in your belly, now you see why you lay on the couch all stressed out. What's going on, brother? Oh man, I'm in bad shape. You in bad shape because you got all that built up toxins in your belly. You gotta get it out. Okay, another thing. Meats. It's not gloom and doom because you don't eat chicken or cow. You're not gloom and doom because you're not eating chicken and cow. Both of them, you trace the history of chicken and cow, them is man-made, man-produced, both of them anyway. Anything man hand in, you don't want too much of it anyway. Chicken and cow, you can trace that history back and other lessons. That's why I say you miss a lesson, you miss a lot. Chicken and cow is traced back to man. Crossbreed. So you do your homework. Got your computer, do it. But look, what kind of meat can you eat? We'll tell you. Lamb, goat, ram, ox, bullock, buffalo, fish. How many of that? Lamb, goat, ram, bullock, buffalo. The Northern Kingdom, when it got to Shem's second land, you know their number one meal was buffalo meat and fish and herbs. Buffalo meat, fish, and herbs. And a report telling you that the people lived longer, their back was stronger, and they had a lot of corn. Corn. Oh, my goodness. What can I tell you about corn? Corn will be with every one of your meals. Every meal you have some corn with it. Corn what clears your blood system up, builds your immune system up. If somebody else sick around the corner, they want to beg you. if they bump into you, it don't affect you. You got your corn in you. But remember what Wisdom Solomon said in 16:12? Yeah, all that's good. But it's activated through the word of Yahuwah. So remember, you got to have your Yahuwah first, the four-letter man, YHWH, and everything will be added to you. But remember, you got bullock, you got ox, ram, goat, lamb, fish, and green stuff. All that good green stuff and other things. And when you when you're going out to your grocery store, get you a good serving of some green I forgot what word I said yesterday. And Brother Yagda said something about berries. Grapes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, that Brother Yagda. Grapes. Get you some green grapes. They might come blue or whatever, you know. But green, remember, Yahuwah says green is the number one color. That's what he ordained in Genesis chapter 1, green. Sit you a nice bowl of grapes. When you sit there watching TV, Uncle always, well, go get me one of those. Look in the plate and get them grapes up out of there. Them green grapes, and throw it in your throat and keep your legs feeling real good, you know. And remember, three exercises in the bed, right? You know, three. You know about that? Good. All right, so that's enough on that. And remember one thing. You got plenty of food to eat. If you're going for the win, you put the chicken and cow down. Now, once you got your 12 weeks with you, you got your air machine, where, remember, on the air machine, don't go all the way down, cause stress, and don't come all the way up, cause stress. Get right there in the middle of that air machine. Stay in the air. And build from there, and you build the muscles up in your legs and everything else. And remember one thing, you know, good. Get your blood circulating real good. The next thing you know, you be skipping around real good. Okay, good. Now, we got that part the way. Now, what else we got? That's enough. So we'll talk about all that later. And remember, plenty of meats. A lamb, goat, ram, bullock, ox, buffalo, and buffalo, and your fish, you know, with fins and scales on it. And green stuff. Oh, you get so much stuff you could eat to bypass the chicken and the cow until you're on your feet. Now, once you're on your feet, once you breathing good, got your wind going good. If you decide to go back, eat you some eggs and eggs and some chicken and cow. That's up to you. But first of all, try this first. Get on your feet first, and you will start seeing how refreshed your body feel inside, how your blood circulation is moving real good. Then you got all type of things come across your mind. And then your better half might say, you know, I remember that look you had that years ago. That's that look that you had years ago look. Yeah, I know. Yeah, ain't that something. When you get through with the 12 weeks program and the way we have told you to do it, your body will be coming from the inside. Your age might be 120, 130, 40 years old. But your inside your body will be between the age of 27 and 35. That's 27 to 35 would be how you'll feel from inside your body. And that's a great feeling, 27 to 35. You remember them great years? 25 to 37, 35. Once you get all the toxins out your body. You got it? Okay, enough said on that. All right, good enough. All right, so WCC, we heading in the right direction, and we forgot about nothing. To go and find Brother Yagda Israel, we'll bring him in, and we'll see about these biblical Bible scholars. You know, although we have talked to him on the conference line, but like I said again, I want to make sure they're legit, and Brother Yagda will tell us what we need to know on take 22. So one thing about it, when you meet your brother, with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahdah Israel. Yahweh be to that Israel.
God bless you, see Israel. I see you, Royal. Hallelujah, Aqua.
Hallelujah, Aqua. That brother Yahweh Israel is amazing. Our things come all at once, and we don't rehearse nothing. But these memos are on the table. So, can you tell me about these two biblical Bible scholars? And you know, one touch one, and let's see exactly what you come up with on them. I remember watching a movie called Unusual Suspect, and there was an elevator. He said, yeah, you know, you got that. You always put your finger on us, but now we can put our finger on you. That's the same thing now. We can put our finger on you now. So let's see if we put our finger on these two biblical Bible scholars and see do they record support the hype of their voice. Your clock, come on.
Reading from the online free encyclopedia, and it reads, Craig A. Evans. Craig Allen Evans, born January 21st, 1952, is an evangelical New Testament scholar and author. He is a prolific writer with 70 books and over 600 journal articles and reviews to his name. He earned his B.A. in History and Philosophy from Claremont McKenna College, a Master of Divinity from Western Baptist Seminary in Portland, Oregon, and his Master's of Art and Ph.D. in Biblical Studies from Claremont Graduate University in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. So, he mentioned that he have a book recently have found some Greek books that what piqued his interest, according to when Mike Alcina. What piqued his interest that he found some books about some what they call the prophets, the seers, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, but it was written in Greek. But what was astonished about it written in Greek, according to him, they had the original name. They had everything was in Greek, but when they mentioned the Almighty's name, it was YHWH. Do you got anything about his discovery of the books he found in the Dead Sea Scrolls? I mean, the Dead Sea that he said that his archaeology team found. What about some on that, Dad, Brother Yahdah Israel?
Now, that information is not included in this particular article, see?
Okay, good. So, okay, well, we'll leave him out on that until we get more details on you and your booklet and being a archaeologist also. Besides a, did you say that he's on record of being a biblical Bible scholar? Yeah, Brother Yahdah Israel, if that's on record, him being a biblical Bible scholar.
Yes, the information concerning him being a biblical Bible scholar, and also do reference that he's a biblical archaeology school professor of something of the sort, I would say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He does have archaeology under his belt as well.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, he say he also is the one to give diplomas out. He said if you graduate from up under his teacher, you know, and he the one that signs the top people's according to. But we'll get more on him as I know you're getting a little bit more on him, but he has made it real clear that. You got to come through him And if you if his name on your paper, then you get a job anywhere. If his name on your paper by completing his course. Now, what about the one that introduced him to come to the broadcast, Mike Aquilina, A-Q-U-I-L-I-N-A. Let's talk about him real quick, that brother Yagdai Israel. Because one touch one. Go ahead.
I'm reading, yes, sir. I'm reading an article from the Free Encyclopedia Online, Wikipedia Dictionary, and it reads, Mike Aquilina, A-Q-U-I-L-I-N-A. Mike Aquilina is a popular author working in the area of church history, especially patriotism, the study of the early church fathers. He is an executive vice president and trustee of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, a Roman Catholic research center based in Steubenville, Ohio, S-T-E-U-B-E-V-B-E-N-V-I-L-L-E, Steubenville, Ohio. He is a contributing editor of Angelus Magazine and general editor of the Reclaiming Catholic History series from Avenue Maria Press. He hosts Way of the Father, a podcast produced by CatholicCulture.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And this other guy right here, what you got on this guy? Bocap Malone, B-O-C-A-B-M-A-L-O-N-E. Now, what he supposed to be about? Bocap Malone. Let's see what he's supposed to be about. B-O-C-A-L-O-N-E. Now, what about Bocap Malone? What he's supposed to be about that we can read?
Give me 1 second here. Let me see if I can pull him up. I know off the rip that he is an apologist in that line of teaching apologetics. Just off the rip, that what I know about him personally. Let's see if I can find an article. He's been one that has, you know, challenged quite a few of Israelite camps and organizations across the USA. Let me see if I can find an article on the Bocap Malone.
Whoa. Okay, yeah. Malone.
Give me 1 second.
Biblical blogger and an expert on Israelite, experts on. So we're going to find out, do the Bible support all these great titles that is out there, and we're going to see, can it hold up when voices of the Six Anointed Camp start zeroing in on all these, you got to have a degree from the archaeologist out of Houston, Texas, you can get a job anywhere, because if his name is on it, that's what you need to have. And he have given plenty of degrees by being the number one leading biblical Bible teacher, Evans Craig. So we're going to find out, can all that hold up when the Six Anointed Camp starts zeroing in on all this right here as we lay the foundation down on tape number 22 and tapes to come, exactly how we got in this predicament and how to get out of it and who gonna get you out of it. So what you got on, you got it then on Bocap Malone there? So
yeah, I have a little information concerning the this gentleman called Bocap Malone. And it reads, a Christian apologist and researcher Vocab Malone creatively uses this many debate as a launching pad to exploit the militant and mysterious sects. Timing is just right as this faith has been spreading like wildfire in most major cities, centers across the U.S. This book fills a void as there are no major works on One West, Hebrew Israelism. Now, prime exit in book Barack Obama versus the Black Hebrew Israelites by Vocab Malone. So not only is he this Christian apologist, but evidently is somewhat of an author as well, sir.
All right. So if all that on the table, and that is standing in before the six anointed camps, then let's get up some Luke chapter 12, verse 12, and let's see which way, since we do have a national audience, and we're going to check you out through Scripture. Everybody will be checked out through Scripture and see can anything hold up when you shine the book on all of the ones that get out the diplomas according to the word of the Bible. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we can get something going on there, Brother Yagdai Israel. Come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And we want to take a look at another word there, Brother Yagdai Israel, to start getting a little understanding. We need to look at a word that, I'm going to find where that memo go ahead real quick. Let me stall for a minute on that. It's a word that I'm looking for. It started lining this thing up and showing step by step how it happened and who did what and when. But can you tell me something that's in Sirach 40 verse 22 while I'm trying to look for a article that I need to touch on for tape number 22. What do it say in Sirach 40 verse 22?
The book of Sirach chapter 40 verse number 22 reads, Sirach 40 verse number 22, "Thine eye desire favor and beauty more than both corn while it is green."
Mm-hmm. Now you say corn while it's green. Now what do you mean by corn while it's green? When you put a stalk of corn and before it turns yellow, it's going to be green, see, right? So now if you able to catch that corn at the peak of it being green, although if you catch it when it's yellow, okay. But remember, the impact is even greater if you can catch the corn according to the seer. He said the best time to catch the corn is what time? What did the seer say in the book called Sirach 40 verse 22? What did the seer say the best time to catch the corn?
Book of Sirach 40 verse 22. "That I desire favor and beauty, but more than both, corn while it is green."
Yeah. So the seer says it's best to catch the corn and get to working on it if you really in a critical situation. The greener you get the processing of that corn going, although the yellow corn and the other corns, purple, some, I seen, I heard they got some black corn too. I heard that. But the seer says, the quicker you can get your hand on some green corn, that is a quicker method than the other colors. And now, why did he say green? We'll run back to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll find out why did he say the quicker you can get your hand on some green corn, you know, but don't shy away from the colors. But the quicker you get your hand on some green corn, now we're going to see can that hold up. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, 12, 29, and 30. Let's see why if you can get your hand on some green corn. Let's see what's written in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, 12, and 29 and 30. Let's see what we're working with, Brother Yaakov Israel.
Book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse number 11, verse number 12, verse number 29, and verse number 30 reads. Book of Genesis, chapter 1. Verse number 11. Yaqub said, that the herb bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse number 12. And the herb brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself. After his kind, Yaqub saw that it was good. Verse 29, Yahweh said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for me. Verse number 30, to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for me. And it was so.
Now you just said of a foul word and a prior verse that green stuff do what for your body again there. Back up one verse there, Brother Yaakov Israel. It's very important now. So those that got an ear to hear, it's very important what Yaakov just said in verse number 29, that what this green stuff will do for you from the ground, it'll do what in verse number 29?
Verse number 29. And Yahweh said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice verse because I still didn't hear my word. I didn't hear the word I'm looking for there, Brother Yaakov Israel.
Verse number 30.
Verse number
30. To every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so.
There go that big word. So Brother Yaakov, what big word do all that green stuff, what do that green stuff give you? Listen what it's saying. To what would it do for your body? It'll give you what? Go ahead, knock out the part, a key word in there. What do that green stuff give you?
Wherein there is life.
So here, take on your key right there, see right here. The green stuff from the ground, it'll give you life to a dying body that we have so far. That green stuff will start packing your body back up. That's why it's so important to load up on that green stuff, because the green stuff give you life. And that's the only color he got in the book that pertained to what give you life. Remember we read over there in 40 verse 22, that corn, that green corn. So if you can catch the corn early, early before it turns to the rest of the colors. If you can catch it green and get to working on it while it's green, you can have a greater impact on a recovery if you catch it green. Because we just found out in verse number 30, according to the Bible of Yahuwah's word, the one made our body, he said, a green herbs is what give you life. So if you're sitting there eating a meal for dinner and you have no green herbs in it, you just eating dead food, you eat mashed potatoes, you eat rice, chicken, cow meat. Everything you eating is dead. See, everything you eating is dead, see, right? You got rice in your belly, you got a, see? Then you want to know why you can't perform. You know, I remember when you used to stand tall. Yeah, I remember that too. But see, you be killing the man if you don't put the green stuff in his body. A lot of people have lost their life and because they don't know that you keep on feeding this man all this food that you grew up on. The children of Israel can't eat that kind of food because it won't give him no life. Matter of fact, it give him death. And then you wonder why he checked out so early. Now you know why he checked out early, because you gave him nothing life to stay around. You fed him dead food. You, every meal you had, it was rice in it. Every meal you had was some kind of cow meat in there. Chicken and starch beans, potatoes, eggs and potatoes. And you want to know why he's, we're called impotent. Why? You know why? Look what you're putting in this. How can he live? He can't live and you eating and feeding him dead food. You got to feed him. Read the verse one more time, Brother Yahdai Israel. 1 verse 30. Listen to what Yahuwah say. What you must put in the man's belly if you over the meal. And as he go out and provide for you. And look what Yahuwah says in verse number 30 that we must be clear about. What did he say in verse 30 again?
The book of Genesis 1, number 30. To every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, when there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so.
Yes, are you ready? Every green herb for meat. And it was so. Now, I want to look up, I want to look up what happened in November the 8th, 1519. Now, what happened, Brother Yahdai Israel, put in what happened November the 8th, 1519. What happened? We can all hear it together. What happened on November the 8th, 1519? What happened there, Brother Yahdai Israel? Let everybody hear it together at the same time. November the 8th, 1519, what happened? November the 8th, 1519, what's on record that happened?
Let me see what we got here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm reading from the online historical document, and it reads, oh, well, let's see if I get to it, see.
Mm-hmm. See, we want to find out, see, we did say, let me get along with it for a couple of minutes, that we will retract in this fiery destruction of Christianity, the great beast, the Roman Catholic Church. We gonna restep 2nd hour, date. We're going to bring it all the way back up and put it in your lap. It's up to you to make adjustment according to the record. We want to see what happened that the history will never tell you about it. What happened on November 8, 1519, and we're going to see, can we springboard from that point of what happened November 8, 1519. You got something, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to really get to an article that really laid it out for us here. Let me see what I got here. It looks pretty good right here. I'm looking at an article called The Ancient Ages, and it reads, on this day in history, Spanish conquistadors, led by Hernan Cortez, entered the Aztec capital, Tenochtitlan, T-E-N-O-C-H-T-I-T-L-A-N, on November 8th, 1519.
Mm-hmm. So on 1519,
Cortez led an expedition that contributed much to the fall of the Aztec Empire. During the march through Mexico, Cortez encountered a group of natives called the Beans, T-L-A-X-C-A-L-A-N-S, who were enemies of the Aztecs. They became an important ally for Cortez during his siege of the Aztecs capital city.
Mm-hmm. Now we got a little bit on tape, but that's good enough. We can just take that a little bit. Remember, ain't nothing rehearsed. So what we just heard so far, that Hernan Cortez on November 8, 1519, he got some allies to go against Montezuma, but he got some allies to go against. Now, the allies that he went to go against them was the one that was previous defeated by Montezuma. But Cortez, Hernan Cortez, we don't know much about him because we mess around and get Christopher Columbus all tied up in this. No. Keep Christopher Columbus over there in the islands. Hernan Cortez is the one that we got to focus on. The history that has never been soundly brought out, but it will be brought out by the six anointed camps of Voices of the Truth Light. The smoking gun is Hernan Cortez. And Hernan Cortez is a Spaniard, but he really is a descendant of Esau. Spaniards only mean the descendants of Esau. Why do we know that? Judges 8, verse 8. What it says in Judges 8, verse 8?
Book of Judges, chapter 8, verse number 8 reads. Book of Judges, chapter 8, verse number 8. He went up thence to Peniel, spake unto them likewise. And the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Sukkah had answered him.
Mm-hmm. Hold that part. Now, thank you for helping me correct that, Brother Yahdai. I mean, Job, or Issachar's boy, 8 verse 8. Thank you for, and then we're coming back to here again, because we got to lay this out, because remember, what we have heard, that the one that give out the degrees is the two big dignitaries is in the room today. They the one give out their degrees, and if you got their degrees, you can take their degrees anywhere and get you any kind of job you want in biblical or being a pastor or whatever if you pass their course. But we want to correct this, showing that you got to get past the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites degree, marriage degree, and biblically scholarly degree from voices of the true Israelites. Because we're going to bring something that's not in your records, but they got degrees. And we're going to bring up the smoking gun and how he became a smoking gun, but you said what you said. We're going to see what it hold up, and we'll see what degree you need to have. Either the degrees of the Big Dignitaries in their own now, or the degrees of Voices of the True Israelite. We will find out. Now, what you working with, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Job, chapter 8, verse 8 reads, "For inquiry, I pray you, of the former age, prepare yourself to the search of your fathers."
Dear, we not going to let you do the biblical scholars like that. We going to mute Brother Yagdai Israel. Ain't that something? Well, I guess I got to put this lesson to the side until he straightened up Brother Yagdai's microphone. How long is microphone going to be down? Huh? How long is microphone going to be down? Well, we heading somewhere to seeking anything that's been said. Can it hold up? Well, I'll tell you what we do with this. Because I was giving it, lick my chop pretty good. Let's see what we do. Let's see what we do until you clear up Brother Yagdai's microphone with a M-U-T-E-X on it, huh? Well, I guess we got to make a little adjustment then. I'll tell you what we do. While you're doing that, we'll bring Mr. Tibbs in for his closing remarks. And we'll get his closing remarks, then we'll make an adjustment on that, because we will just get ready, like the old saying, go in on something. Bring Mr. Tibbs in, get his final remarks on take number 22, and then we'll get to whatever we got to get to. We're just getting ready to take you out. We're just getting ready to take you out in brand style. Well, we'll put that to the side. All right, Emma, you're ready. That's why we keep telling you, see, Raya, we need our own land, school, banquet hall. But one thing about it, it's always going to be something. Remember we read in last night's lessons on Nehemiah 2, verse 10? Whoever come to pray the children of Israel, it's always going to be a problem. Boston of the True Israelites are going to get the job done anyway it goes. But we stand that what you got on the we just going to examine and see where to hold up. Because it's information of history that have never been told, but a lot of degrees have been put out. Just like understanding that the word Spaniard, Indians, is not words, even the word Peru and Peruvians is words that was placed on a people. So once we get past the word Peru, Peruvian, and Spaniards, and get their biblical name on the table, we'll be able to soundly take care of this business. I'll tell you what we'll do. Remember Mr. Tibbs in and get his final remarks on take 22, and we'll just see what will the big station out in New York do with unblocking the microphone of Brother Yagdai Israel, but we can get back to taking a look at seeking anything hold up once you zero in on it, spirit led by thus says Yahweh. Closing statement, Brother, Mr. Tibbs, close your closing statement. You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother C. Israel, and thank you for bringing me back until tonight's broadcast. And we continue to welcome and thank all of you for staying and listening. Well, we're beginning to see that some of our beginning statements are very true. When I say we all came to hear the things that most of us can hear, that's very true. But some of us, when we hear it, don't like it and cast it behind their back because they never understand it. Good example, huh? And to see those things that most of us can see and others can never find. and to touch those things that most of us can touch and others can never feel. And why? Because it's the words of Yahuwah which makes all this and more possible for the righteous. The righteous, as I've said, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Yahuwah are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Yahuwah is against them that do evil." 13, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Well, there's a lot of us out here that come for the good of Yahuwah's word, and we have patience to receive his word. And those of us that understand it, we commend it, and we add unto it. And it's not so good for some. Some come just to see who's all attending, what we're talking about, and who they like and don't like. I guess you've seen previous examples. I know there are many out here who have seen what I've said, just as much as I. These are the people that have to realize that we're here for one reason, and that's for the word of Yahuwah. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry, coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible about, first, most of all, Yahuwah's word, your health, foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have knocked, and you came to seek, and you found that which you have sought in Yahuwah's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday from 6:30 to 9:30, until the temple members desire to leave. The bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. That temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m., and once again, until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address you can use. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of those current smart devices that you may have. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under that big line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any one of those other devices you own, it might look a little different. This time you may see menu. After clicking this, again you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and follow the same instructions as for previous use. Doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength." 8, "Give unto Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Now, I always remind everyone that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Live. Also, to build the school, banquet hall, and the land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar to keep you and your family in tune with the feast days that come through to us throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. This time, type in Yahuwah Radio Live. Three words. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as it appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcasts. We currently have two email addresses that can be used. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh @gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions, answers of a biblical subject, or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com. Also for biblical subject or related topics. We also have a few numbers that you can use to reach Yahuwah's ministry. We ask that you considerably think to use them before broadcast time or afterwards, as not to disturb Yahuwah's words. We have a few verses from the Bible that explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8 says, "Answer not before thou have heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk." In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26 says, "If any man or woman among you seem to be religious, and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceiveth his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain." But I see there's still those out there that do the opposite of what the scriptures say. I've even got calls during the first portion of the broadcast, knowing that I was on the broadcast. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, they cause also disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken. And I suppose they may not be familiar with Yahuwah the Son that's given us. In Matthew 22, verse 29, Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahuwah." Also, we find it extremely necessary to mention, please by no means contact the fear for questions direct, via voicemail, email, or text. He's usually pretty busy answering many memos, even I've said before, having thoughts of having just a memo show. Responding to the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and mostly important, the most important thing of all, preparing Yahuwah's lesson before our program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to only 100% of what a man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, as I've previously mentioned. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of our six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But again, not the fear. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation of 100% and found that this is impossible, as quoted in Matthew 19:26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, remember, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., of course, except for Fridays. This program is repeated at 9:45. To open up any search engine to get there to listen to this, open up any one of your search engines right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, we're in the process of making it possible for any one of the listening members to get a CD or DVD recording or any one of our programs by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, this is another day for Yahuwah's Word, that we're all receiving it, as I've said before. And some of us are adding unto it. They commend it and add unto it. But there are others that are clearly forgotten that we're only one man or one woman. And seriously, you have to think that time is not in our favor. But also, the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what a man or woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life. And that, if that's all possible. If anyone says they've exceeded that and done 101%, they just lied. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahuwah's creation. That's impossible. Remember what Yahuwah the Son has told us about the impossible in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. 26 says, "But Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible." So at this particular time, we will turn our program back to our seer Israel. Keep your Bibles open. There's always a lot to learn. You have to remember to take notes so you can reference back to them after our program ends. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mr. Taylor, you're right. It's a lot to learn. Very lot to learn. A lot to learn, or one thing, we's a people that is, we react instead of proact. But Voices of the True Israelite will show you how to proact. But we have to wait on the ones that hear this and bring this back. You can go back to Brother Yagda again after we chastise you real good. Okay. All right. You know, there's many ways to get around to a point, because one thing about it, that's how Yahweh operated. He went around one way and came another way. Now, Brother Yagda Israel, so now, what Job 8, verse 8, Brother Yagda Israel, Job 8, 8, you're on the clock, come on.
The book of Job, chapter 8, verse time 8 reads, book of Job, chapter 8, verse number 8. For inquire, I pray of the former age. Prepare yourself to the search of your fathers.
Mm-hmm. So, the key is the first thing to understand one thing. Any name that you hear, it must have a father's name to it. You must have some 49:11 of Psalms. 49:11 of Psalms is the record. The mental spirit told all David. He told David, he said, David, remember one thing. If they legit, they have some 49:11 working with them. What it says in 49:11 of the book of Psalms?
Book of Psalms 49, verse number 11. They end with thoughts that their family, their houses, their land shall continue forever. Their dwelling place to all generations. They call their land after their own names.
Mm-hmm. So remember, whatever land that you at, your name, it must be your father's name on the land. So now, we want to go back to Hernán Cortés again and get a little bit more of Hernán Cortés. We just gonna go at it another way. And we'll go at it another way. Now, in 1519, we got it already on record on November the 8th that Hernán Cortés showed up on Montezuma. But Hernán Cortés was from Tarsus, they call Spain, the Spaniards. So when you see the word called Spaniard peoples, the Spaniards, that is polluted for Tarsus. Tarsus is the descendants of Japhetic peoples. The name of Hernán Cortés is descendants of Esau. Esau and his five sons. So listen on the count. Get the record down pat when we talk. So now, when Hernán Cortés got to the land, and now we got to find out what land was in. Because you get, remember, the land must be a name of your father. Now, let's run to and see exactly. Now, we're going to put a name on the table. But what we got to do, we have to see first lay the foundation. We got to lay the foundation first. And it's going to take a minute to do so. But one thing about it, after we good and gone, we gonna get out some well done, our good and paper, but you laid the foundation. Then we'll show them, get out from under the foundation when you make a statement about a name. Now, I'll tell you what you do, Brother Yagda Israel. Look up the history of the word called the Peruvians. Peru, P-E-R-U. I want to start with that word, where that word come from. Peru. Where was this name on the peoples that was there, or was this name brought to them? Because a lot of peoples, you ask the Northern Kingdom, actually, you got your chart and you find out the Aztecs is really, it's called Issachar's boys. Very important. Very important. That's very important information. Because whatever comes after that, we got to find a name that we can sit right in that area and watch them take that name and spread it so many different directions that you can't figure out who's who. But guess what? We're going to figure out everything. The six anointed camps are voices of the true Israelites. We're going to lay it step by step, pair it for what to come. The word called Peru. What is the history on the word called Peru there, Brother Young? Go see, for the word Peru, you got the Peruvian peoples. And the Peruvian peoples today say they are Mexican peoples. Let's find out where the word came from. Come on, Brother Yagdai Israel.
I read from the online dictionary, and it reads, the name Peru is derived from a Quechuc Indian word implying land of abundance, a reference to the economic wealth produced by the rich and highly organized Inca civilization that ruled the region for centuries.
Mm-hmm. So you see, the word Peru is not a nationality. It's not the Peruvians. No. The word Peru was brought to you by the citizens of Esau called the Spaniard peoples. They says that word means a land with plenty of wealth and everything they look for. So when you call yourself a Peruvian from Peru, the word that was brought down was you is the peoples that's around with plenty of water and riches and gold. Keep that in your point. That's what the word Peru means. It's not a nationality. So when you trace yourself back to being a Peruvian or Peru, that's only a word from Esau saying you from the land of plenty of riches and gold. Now, before he got there in 1519, he was speaking the Spaniard language. So it's no way in the world he could communicate with Montezuma, period. So what did he do? This is the part of history that has to be brought out. What did he do? Let's look up the name now, Brother Yagdai Israel. We look up a name and see what he did. What did he do by looking up a name that I want to be on this tape? Let's look up a name. And what did Hernan Cortez do? Because there's no way possible he could have communicated with the Incas, the Mayas, the Aztecs, the Omas, Issachar, is no way possible he could communicate with them. So, what did he do? Look up a name called N-A-A-U-A-T-L. Repeat it again. N-A-H-U-A-T-L. Look that name up, Brother Yagdai Israel. Let's see exactly what we're working with right here.
I'm looking at it on the online dictionary. N-A-H-U-A-T-L. Nahuatl. A member of a group of people native to southern Mexico and Central America, including the Aztecs.
Mm-hmm. Read that again, Brother Yagdai Israel.
a member of a group of people native to southern Mexico, Central America, including the Aztecs. The Uto-Aztecan language of the Nahuatl, N-A-U-A-T-L.
Okay. So, that was one of the languages that have been bumbled up. But now a name that I'm looking for now, that Brother Yagdai Israel, I'm looking for something. Now, we laid the groundwork down. Like I said, it's going to be a long series, but we're going to lay the groundwork down. Put this name down right here. T-E-N-O-C-H-I-T-I-L-A-N. Repeat again. T-I-N-O-C-H-I-T-I-T-L-A-N. What that supposed to mean now, Brother Yagdai Israel? Let's see what that supposed to mean while we... See, remember one thing. We have always heard the story with the check on it. But now, voices of the two is like the six anointed camps going to bring you the balance. We're going to tie some things in the record. What that mean and where that at, Brother Yagdai Israel? Come on.
I'm reading from the Wikipedia, online encyclopedia, and it reads, Nahuatlian, also known as Mexico Nahuatlian, Nahuatl, N-A-H-A-U-T-L language, was a large Mexican Altepetl, in what is now the historical center of Mexico City.
Mm-hmm. Well, this man right here was the center capital of what you call now Mexico. This was the name called, this was the center capital where Montezuma was at his best, that it was the center capital of what they call now Mexico, and now call them Aztecs, Mayans, and everything else. But now that name right there, that long name right there, was a name that when you get down with it, it is the center capital of Mexico. That was called one of the headquarters, along with C-U-Z-C-O. Now, this is where Montezuma was at. This is where he was at. This was his call, where the temple site was at. I'm not gonna even try to pronounce it. I ain't gonna pronounce it, because you know I get more calls on me trying to pronounce a word than me trying to show you the message. I ain't worried about that part. We're just going to show you, when you do the research on this thing, it'll take care of itself. C-U-Z-C-O. What did that say, Brother Yagdai Israel?
I'm reading from the online encyclopedia, and it reads, C-U-Z-C-O, Cusco, was the religious and administrative capital of the Inca Empire, which flourished in ancient Peru between 1400 and 1534 CE. The Inca controlled territory from Quito to Santiago, making theirs the largest empire even seen in the Americas and the largest in the world at that time.
Ain't that something? Now, Cosmo, was the temple site. Now, the story is the reason why the Aztecs, they done human sacrifices, and then Esau had to come and try to help them on their feet, like they tell you the story about Q, that they seen Q in Africa with no clothes on, and they put clothes on you. The same story that helped up putting clothes on you is the same story that held up here. At this Cosmo, C-U-Z, that was the temple site. And when you do your homework, you'll see that place was 1,000 miles away from C-A-J-A-M-A-R-C-A, 1,000 miles away. And it was for a name that you might know, Chile. You might have heard the name called Chile. From Chile to where you got to get, it's about 3,000 miles, maybe 3,000 miles. This is the land that Montezuma, he was the boss man, big boss man, Montezuma. Now, when Hernan Cortez landed in that land about that time, we said about November 8, 1519. That's what we're going to put on the table right now. But what we're going to do is show you that Hernan Cortez, he found out the tribes that Montezuma have defeated. See, when Montezuma's them, they wasn't sacrificing their own people like the record says. They were feeding the ones of captivity put this name in. Like I said, we'll get it again tomorrow, and we'll get it all week. But we got to lay this foundation in, brother Yahshua Israel. See, Montezuma's had their own mighty one, and their mighty one was called by this name. And when they defeated the countrymen around about Montezuma, they sacrificed the one that lost the battle to put this name in there, and let's see what does it come up with. Z-I-L-O-P-O-C-H-T-L-I. Repeat again. H-U-I-T-Z-L-O-P-O-C-H-T-L-I. Put that name in there, brother Yahshua Israel, and see what that come up with.
From dictionary.com online, H-U-I-T-Z-L-I-L-O-P-O-C-H-T-L-I. It's the Aztecs, god of war and of the sun.
You see that? That's the god of war. So when Montezuma's defeated all the neighboring countries by being the center capital, and when they bring you back in, they wasn't locking you up like, you know, you locked up your prison. No. You will be the sacrifice to the god of war. So they'll snatch your heart out. They'll sacrifice you to the god of war. You see that, see, right? So now, so when the story is told about how they, well, you know, the reason why the sons of Esau came there because they were sacrificing, and no, at this temple, they wasn't sacrificing their peoples at all. They was sacrificing the prisoners of war. The prisoners of war was the ones that were sacrificed, you see, to the, that long name they got. So that's how that happened. So now, so we want to start picking this thing away, and his capital, where the temple was at, was in where, and then you go in your computer, y'all, your computer whiz, and put up their capital. Their capital was put together, C-U-Z-C-O, and you see, most likely you'll see it on a computer, their temple. Their temple was put together without using any mortar. It was so tight, showing you that when they put their temple together, they didn't use no mortar. And you can't get a piece of paper through it because there was stone cutters. And what they learned how to be stone cutters is from Yahdah Judah, which was given to Yahdah Judah to be stone cutters. And the children of Israel was, and that was Issachar them. And they learned how to be stone cutters from Yahdah Judah. You know, we're going to leave that, we're going to go read that, and we'll leave that right there for a minute. We'll leave you on the edge of your seat till we get again tomorrow on that. Let's run and see exactly where all this perfection come as, and who was the top of the cutting rocks and everything else. So when you read the story about Joseph being a carpenter, the first thing you think about somebody put together and he was a carpenter, is this the carpenter's son? But see, right, the carpenter of the Bible is not the carpenter, the one, although they can put it together. But these carpenters of Yahdah Judah or something a little bit more. That's why the story has to be told, but the only one going to tell the story is the six anointed camps of voices of it. We lay it all out for you. Now, we go on and find out, Brother Yahweh, we'll close out with this. We'll find out what did Yahweh do and who was the stone cutters, according to Yahweh. Let's look at what it says in Exodus 35. We'll look at verse number 1. Verse number 1. 35, verse 1.
The book of Exodus, chapter 35, verse number 1 reads, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the family of Israel."
Excellent. And what happened in 29?
Verse number 29. "The family of Israel brought a willing offering unto Yahweh, a remaining woman, whose mind made them willing to bring for all the manner of work which Yahweh commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." Verse number 30.
So it's a commandment. Yeah, let me get in there. It's a commandment to bring offerings in, see, right? It's, you know, you sit there and you jack your slack. It's a commandment from Yahweh because there's a lot of things that got to be done that you need to know about it that's written. But we go a little further than that and look at what happened in verse number 30 and verse 30 down to verse number 34. That'd be good enough. And we'll leave you hanging on this right here. Verse number 30 to 34, Brother Yahdah Israel deliver.
Verse number 30. "And Moses said unto the family of Israel, see, Yahweh have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Yahdah Judah." Verse 31. "He hath filled him with the spirit of Yahweh, and wisdom, and understanding,
and in all knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Verse number 32, to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass. Verse 33, and in the cutting of stone, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. Verse 34, he had put in his mind that he may teach both he and Ahuliel, the son of Ishmash of the tribe of Dan.
So you see, Yahdah Judah and Dan was the one that, but Yahdah Judah was the lead on stone cutting. So remember, it's 12 tribes of Israel, so when they learned how to cut stones and build pyramids, you have to learn it all from Yahdah Judah, the lead tribe. And when you go into the battle, the first thing you come and get is Yahdah Judah, the lead tribe. Because Dan, another lesson, we can't get on Dan right now, Dan went for himself. See, Dan took his talent, like the Bible did. He took his talent for Dan. But Judah is the one that always at the front field, on the front line of everything. So Judah is the one that knew how to cut stones. So when you see this great big temple over here and what's the name of that place called again, Brother Yahdah Israel? That religious place called in C-U-Z-C-O?
Cusco.
Cusco. So when you go on your computer, all your computer whiz, and you do the homework on Cusco, that temple was built by the understanding of northern kingdoms did it, but they was instructed by Yahdah Judah. Because Yahweh put in the mind of the lead tribe to be first in everything. And that's one of the greatest teachings to understand today. The first in everything on the planet Earth is Yahdah Judah. If you don't go through Yahdah Judah, you ain't got nothing coming. Yeah. So the stone cutting, putting pyramids, temples together, it's always led by Yahdah Judah. And when you go put up this place, that's which is 1,000 miles from the place of this place, and we're going to take you all that in another lesson. We're going to bring the scholars and show you exactly what happened. But remember, when Hernán Cortés got there, he was shrewd enough to know one thing. He did not speak the language. And when he came with about 11 ships, about 15 horses, which they have never seen in that land. And they came with sticks that shoots bullets that they never seen. So when Hernán Cortés came, he came with sticks that shoot bullets. You know what they call that, gun. And we're going to leave that just like that right now, and we'll get on this. Remember, it's going to be a long series. But we're going to lay out the part that we need to know, and we'll take care of that later. Keep that in your mind. Brother Yahdah Israel, how about a closing statement as we get warmed up to take care of some business and dust as Yahweh, you on the clock, come up.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Love the way it's rolling out there, see Israel, I see Royal. We work team to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Excellent. And like I said again, we will lay the part of history, but after you do the research on the capital of Montezuma's. And remember, Montezuma's, he knew history. And one thing he did know, that it was somebody to come and do some damage in time to come, but he was, we'll take care more about that tomorrow. So we'll leave that like that. We'll leave that like that. We'll leave that right there, and we'll get at that tomorrow. We'll leave you hanging. We're going to find the mothers out of Camp 1, and we'll bring in Mother D up Israel. Because one thing about it, see, Ray, when we get through with this series, it's up to you to make the adjustment. Six anointed camps will be getting ready to receive you in as all over the known world as we lay the foundation of the truth in. So when we meet the mothers out of Camp 1 with a loud voice, you said, Mother D up Israel, Yahweh be to that seed, right?
Yahweh bless you, seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. You know, Mother D up Israel, sometimes you feel like the big cat and they left the gate down because they got a lot of big dignitaries. They supposed to be all that. But this information right here, they forgot to put in the records. We have to bring it all out and then for you to examine yourself on who's who. So we'll leave that like it is and get back at that a little later. Let's go and see why it's so important for you to know the name. Why it's so important for the records of Dr. Craig Evans that we found out that he's a historian, a teacher, and he's the one that passed out the record grades books. Archaeology, he's everything, and he says that he found some scrolls that was in Greek, but one thing, they had it in Greek, but they had the original name in there, the four letters.
Mm-hmm.
So the Greek at that time had the four letters, YHWH. So, but that's not mentioned. But no more about but the six anointed camps. But the name YHWH was even in the Greek manuscripts. They had all arrived in Greeks, but they had the name YHWH. What's so important about that name, YHWH? What's so important about that name? Let's find out what David says important about that name, YHWH. What do David says about it in... Let's see what David get this information from in 2 Samuel 23, 1, 2, and 3. Let's find out who was dictating David's mouth to make any statements. Who was working David's mouth in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, 2, and 3?
2 Samuel chapter 23, verses... What'd you say? Verses 2 and 3? What'd you say?
1, 2, and you're making 1, 2, and 3.
2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1-3. Verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of Yahweh of Israel, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, verse 2, the spirit of Yahweh spake by me, and his words was in my tongue. Verse 3, Yahweh of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So David was told that by the mental spirit that if you about some Yahweh, you appear you some Yahweh. But what did David say about that? David made up in 111 verse 10. He said, if you about some Yahweh, you appear some Yahweh. And so now David writes from the spirit of Yahweh. Minister Spirit. He said, so if you are of Yahuwah, you are priest of Yahuwah. What it says in 111 verse 10 of Psalms.
Psalms. Psalms 111 verse 10. The fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instruction. His praises endures forever.
So, to get a good understanding, first thing you must do is be in that number to get a good understanding of the fear of Yahuwah. You have to be in that number. It just keep his Torah instruction.
Right.
Now, that's how you first be able to retain the information that we're going to bring out. But it starts by you fearing your mighty one and doing the things that he told you to do. Now, his son did not deviate from what his father told him in the 9th chapter, verse 10 of Proverbs. Let's see, when he turned the mantle over to his son, did his son make any kind of alteration on the fear of Yahuwah? That is the beginning of wisdom. So your wisdom starts in understanding Yahuwah's word when you fear him. So now the wisest man in the world found statement in the 9th chapter, verse 10, echoing what his father just said. What did he say?
Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the righteous is understanding.
And that's where it started, see, right here. That you fear not man. Not man. You fear you some Yahuwah. And Peter made a profound statement in the 5th chapter. And Peter is the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. And he made a statement pertaining to that. So if you want to obtain information we give it to bring to you in writing, we got to understand what it says here that we can't deviate from. It's 529 and kick up to verse 28. We cannot deviate from the book. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 and kick up to verse 28. Listen good.
You said Acts chapter 5?
Yes, ma'am. Pick up verse 29 and kick up to verse 28.
Okay. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 and 28, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey Yahuwah rather than men. Verse 28. Saying, did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled the southern kingdom, Yahdah, with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us.
So you say you have filled Jerusalem, polluted for Yah God, Judah, southern kingdom, with this teaching. See, a lot of the world today, they leave out the name, YHWH, in their teaching. When you leave out the name YHWH, you have polluted the message, where you know it not. It's contaminated. If you don't have a name in the teaching, so if you're in the ministry and they're not using a four-letter name, YHWH, you have really your message is distorted, because you have to use the name YHWH. And this was Evans, the big Bible scholar, Evans was saying, Craig, he said, now we found ancient books that's from the Dead Sea, We pulled it up. But the writing was in Greek. He said, but what really caught his attention, if the writing was in Greek, but the name of the Almighty Creator was in Semitic called Hebrew, YHWH.
Mm-hmm.
This history, you gotta understand something. You must use the true name of the Creator. The Father's name is YHWH, and the Son's name is YHWH. And you can go and look at this big dignitary that's in the room as we speak, or Craig Evans, and he'll tell you plainly the divine name is YHWH, and we got the books to prove it. And he said he wrote a book that validates that. So he says we're gonna have to step our game up, because the truth of the matter, his name is YHWH. That's his name. That's the divine name. And all them other names is not his name. And the only one using the name is the Six Anointed Camps of Bosses of Two is Life, YHWH. And Craig Evans will bag that up. The big researcher, historian, he found the books in Greek. But the name of YHWH is in them Greek manuscripts. Why so? Let's go to Psalms 116:13. Let's find out why. Let's find out why that name is in there. It's in the books. And the Greek is really, that is not a nationality. Anybody can be called a Greek, but they're talking about the descendants of Esau and his five sons. They is called the Greeks in this case. So we can read other verses showing you that the same Greeks is also called the children of Israel. So that's another time and topic. But we're going to show you how important it is to employ the name of the Creator when you teaching the YHWH name. Why so? 116 verse 13.
Psalm 116 verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh.
See, Carl, salvation is the only one name, YHWH. That's the name of salvation. The Spirit told David to tell the children of Israel. The only name that gonna get you salvation, that's eternal life. That is YHWH. And maybe in this lesson or maybe tomorrow, we can fast forward to what's going to happen to you by not using that name on the day of judgment. And we're going to find out about that either in this lesson or in tomorrow's lesson, why it's so important for you to incorporate the name YHWH in your classes that you go to. Let's run to Acts chapter 3. And we look at verses 5 through 9. We're going to Acts chapter 3, verse 5 through 9. What's so important about this name?
Acts chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. Verse 5, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given I you. In the name of Yahweh, the Son of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles bones received strength. Verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh. Verse 9. And all the people.
And all the people
saw him walking and praising Yahweh.
And what were they going to? They was going to the temple. See, right? See, Peter was heading to the temple. They weren't heading to Joe Miles Lounge. They was heading to the temple. See, right? That's what they were heading to, and that's the point we're trying to make. See, you don't have to do what's written in this book to receive the blessing of Yahweh. Because he makes it plain in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1 and 8. Tell you in Leviticus 24, verse 1 and 8. The reason why the impotent man, he couldn't walk, he thought he'd give him a couple of hours, because he know a lot of people can show up at the temple. And Peter told him, teach the nation of Israel, I ain't got in your cup, brother. Do you know who I am? I'm the one going to tell you about how to get on your feet. But what name gets you on your feet? The name gets you on your feet. It's the YHWH name. What's the reading that, Mother D.F. Israel? What's the reading?
Leviticus 24, 1 and 8. Verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 8, every Sabbath he shall sit it in order before Yahweh continuously, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant.
And all six anointed camps, you call for details. We have several classes Friday night and return class Saturday. Listen, see right here. You got to get in where you've been in at if you want to see the blessings of this man. You call for details and see where you at to get in where you fit in at. Because it's so important for you to be in that number. Because remember, the feast days coming up, the only way you can be anointed in the six anointed camps, you got to be there to be anointed to receive the blessing of Yahweh. Just like this man right here, he knew by he was at the temple, he had to, but then Yahweh told him something in 5:13 and 14 of St. John. But then Yahweh said something, and by, you hear a small, still boy say, yeah, see, you know you're talking pretty good, but you need to tie something in real good. In St. John 5:13 and 14, you hear a small, still boy when you're on point. Look at this small, still boy said. St. John 5:13 and 14 says what?
St. John chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, verse 13, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Yahweh's son had himself away a multitude there in that place. Verse 14, afterwards, Yahweh the son finding him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you.
See the man saying? You hear the man saying? He said, now you'll be made whole. Now you all right. But we found you in the temple. Don't all of a sudden get amnesia and start finding out something else to do but to get in them six anointed camps and sit down and be willing to hear the word of Yahweh to help your loved ones. Remember one thing, say right here. We only can anoint you when we see you. Can't anoint you from this national radio broadcast. You got to get in one of them six anointed camps and you got to do one thing. You got to come with big ear and little mouth to learn something to help yourself and others and step on the will of Yahweh. He puts it. But sin no more. What does sin mean? Breaking the five books of Yahweh. Every Sabbath sitting in order before your Yahweh. being taken from the 12 tribes of Israel by everlasting covenant. But we know we clearly, 10 of the tribes teach Sunday, the majority of 10 of the tribes. But keep on thinking about the children of Israel. That's why we have to bring out so much. Let's go to the 24th chapter and pick up verse 59 of Genesis. You got to understand something about the children of Israel. See, you must understand that this guy over here, what's his name again? Montezuma. Montezuma was the center capital with that long name that Brother Yaakov mentioned. So he was 3,000 miles away from his territory where the temple was at. 3,000 miles away, see, really? So, God, dog, to get to the temple where Montezuma was at, where they can, you know, if they kick you and whoop you up and you a prisoner of war, and you weren't going to, no, you weren't going to prison, dude. You was going to be sacrificed by their god of the sun and the moon. I thought that was in paganism, but I'll tell you one thing, that would happen to you. But their temple was built by Yahdah Judah, or instructed by Yahdah Judah, because they didn't want to have that information. So when you go to Cozumel, C-U-Z-C-O, you'll see that great big temple that was 3,000 miles away that he was controlling territory. And we're going to show you how everything be done in this series. So we're going to lay it all out. What you read now, Mother dear?
Well, you told me to go to Genesis 24. I forgot to go.
Well,
I don't know the verse. I forgot.
Okay, well, I forgot too. So we'll put that down then. We'll put that down. I forgot now. Because when I give you a verse, it'd be something. I done got the verse to give you the verse, so now I forgot it's me. And you just write it down, then you get with me. So don't get caught up with my dramatics. You got too many years in to catch up with my dramatics. Just put them verses down and stoke them. So now we find out that in the third chapter of Acts, 5-9, we find out that they got up and walked. Now let's go to Acts chapter 4. Let's run to Acts chapter 4, and we'll look at 7 down to verse 12. Let's see what we get out of it. Let's see what we get out of Acts 4, 7 through 12. We'll pick up on that. Genesis 24 another time. So we'll go to Acts chapter 4, 7 through 12.
Yeah.
What did it say?
Acts chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the righteous spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Verse 9. If we this day be examined of good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the peoples of Israel, that by the name of Yahweh, the son of Nazareth, whom you crucified, hung on the tree, whom Yahweh, the father, raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand here before you whole. Verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So you see what he's saying? That Peter's saying that it ain't but one name, all the other names ain't but a trap name. So all these miracles is be done without the name of YHWH. Yeah, it can be miracles done, but not miracles done from Yahweh. He just told Peter, or Yahweh told him, ain't but one name going to get you salvation. It ain't but one name, YHWH. All the rest of the name, you can forget it. If you're in the ministry, they're using all the rest of the name, and I don't care how many miracles goes on, because Satan in the miracle business too. He in the miracle business, and we'll read. Matter of fact, we read two verses, and we'll show you Satan is in the miracle business too. We'll show you according to right. So one thing about it, we have a six anointed council say, yeah, we see you got a noble blessing. But where the blessing came from? Well, it had to come from above because we got it. We got a blessing. Well, not necessarily, because a blessing can come from somebody else too. And we're going to Matthew chapter 4 and get two witnesses, and we'll close out with that, and we'll get back on this tomorrow. Let's see, do a blessing come from more than one direction? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and see can we find out that is any blessing that could be given by somebody else. Let's see what it says in Matthew 4, and we'll pick it up at verse number 8 and 9. Let's see, can blessings come from another source? Matthew 4, 8 and 9.
Verse 8. Again, the devil taking him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the honor of them. Verse 9. And said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me.
Yeah. So you see that? So Satan, so sometimes we'll look, we see that you got a blessing on you, but we see that you is blessed and you looking good, skinning and grinning. But Satan is the blessing business too. Now, when you bow down to worship him, that means you're keeping Sunday, and you use the name Lord God and Jesus. Then you worship Satan the devil. That is simple as that, and he will bless you for it until his time run out. We get a second witness in Luke chapter 4. Because understand one thing, Satan is in the blessing business too. He can make your leg your leg short, he make a leg come on your leg. You mess around, your wrist is, you ain't got no arm. He can put an arm on you. Satan have that power to do exactly on earth because Yahweh allowed him to have that power on those that are disobedient to the world. Let's see. Let's give a second window. We'll close out with this. Luke 4, and we'll pick up at verse 4 through verse number 7. 4-7. Let's get a second witness, because when you get two witnesses, that's the end of it. Luke chapter 4, 4-7.
Luke chapter 4, verses 4-7. Verse 4. And Yahweh the Son answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Yahweh. Verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the honor of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Verse 7. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine.
So you see that? So you see all these great big old monuments, and you see everybody skinning and grinning, and they can pay their bills 5 months in advance and everything else. Yeah, that's a blessing. And you say, yeah, that's a blessing from Jesus. Yeah, but what Jesus? Satan the devil. Yeah. Satan is a blessing being deceived right here. Huh? Leave it like that. Mother, D.F. Israel, how about the closing statement? And we'll get back on this tomorrow. You on the clock. Come on.
Psalms 113. Praise you, Yahweh. Praise you, O servant of Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. Blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Yahweh's name is to be praised. Yahweh is high above all nations, and his honor above the heavens. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Small D.F. Israel come out of Camp 1 of the Israelite. So even like Craig Evans says, he said he found the books, and they were written in Greek. He said, but one thing is that dawned on his mind when you look up Craig Evans, the biblical Bible scholar, he said the book was in Greek. The scroll was in Greek. But the Greeks, which the descendants of Esau, left the name YHWH, the sacred name of the Creator. See, Ray, Mr. Esau will tell you that the sacred name is YHWH. All the rest of the other names, see, Ray, ain't going to cut it. But let him tell you, go and find him, go on his website and find him, Craig Evans, and look him up, the biblical Bible scholar, and see what he say about the name of YHWH. Then once he tell you, then come back to the Six Anointed Camps and let them, and we'll say, well, when you hear from him, you believe it, huh? So you don't want to believe the Six Anointed Camps, one name for salvation, bosses of the two Israelites, tell you, YHWH. Now, Sons of Esau says, Craig Evans says, that's true, one name, YHWH. And he found the scrolls written by all the prophets, they call them prophets with the seers. He said, what's astonishing about this writing in Greek, they all got the name of YHWH in it. So go on and look up Craig Evans, the biblical Bible historian, and then he'll tell you that the name is YHWH. Then you will say, oh, I believe it now. Mm-hmm. When you meet the mothers out of Camp 1 with a loud voice, you say, Mother E, and Yahweh be with Mother Z, Mother E, Israel, tribe of Yahweh, Judah, Yahweh be to that seed, right?
Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. See you, Lord. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Mother E. Mother E, you know, we come and we tell the world that his name is the four letters, but now you got Mr. Esau himself telling you that's just the way it is. So once they hear it from, you know, from somebody that look like, you know, the one we all, then you'll say, oh, his name is YHWH. Yeah? Okay, good. That's how they roll. But again, we just got to keep going. And those that got ear to ear, they got to hear. All right there, Mother E, let's see what we can get going on. And what do it say in 1, 2, and 3, or Psalm 1, 2, and 3? I need that just a point that's in that 1, 2, and 3, 1. Psalm 1, 2, and 3, 1, 2, and 3. What's there anyway?
Okay. Psalm 123.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2,
and 3.
Yeah, what's there?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Book of Psalms, chapter 123, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let me get there. What? Book of Psalms, chapter 123, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1, unto thee lift I up my eyes, O thus that dwellest in this heaven. Verse 2, behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hands of their master, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hands of her minister. For our eyes wait upon thee, Yahweh, our Yahweh, until that he have mercy upon us. Verse 3, have mercy upon us, O Yahweh, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we is. So Yahweh said, I want to have mercy for you. He said, I'm waiting. He said, but it's some things you got to do. He said, I'm waiting to, for 18 chapter. He said, I'm waiting. He said, yeah, I want to do some damage, but you got to, let's see what he says, we use you as the widow. In 18th chapter of Luke, pick up verse 5, down to verse 8. So, you know, Yahweh said, I hear you. I want to do you some good, but you got to get me right. He said, I can't recognize you right now. You ain't got me right. I want to do right. You don't eat right. You don't think right. You're back doing everything you're doing. You're not getting counsel from the six anointed camps. He said, you're not doing right for me to bring you up. Let's see what he says over here in Luke chapter 18, 5 down to verse 8. What he say in Luke 18, 5 to 8?
Book of Luke chapter 18, verse 5 to 8. Yet, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continence coming she wear of me. Verse 6, and the Yahweh said, hear what the unjust judge said. Verse 7, and shall not Yahweh avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him through her, bearing long with them. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?
Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to do my part. He said, but when are you going to do your part? That's the man trying to tell you. We want to receive the blessing of Yahweh, but we don't want to do what Yahweh tells us to do to receive the blessing. And 15:37-40, what he says in Numbers. He said, yeah, but I can't, you know, I want to do you some good, but I can't recognize you, 12 tribes of Israel. Because when I look at my record, says in 15:37-40, what can I say to you? Let's see, what's written over there in Numbers, chapter 15:37-40?
Okay. Numbers, chapter 15. 37-40, 15, verse 37. And the Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringes of border a ribbon of blue. 39, and it shall be unto you for a friend, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring. Verse 40, that you may remember and do all my Torah instructions and be righteous unto your Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
So he said the reason why you have them all because it's a remembrance for you to remember him and do righteous. See, that's the reason you wear the fringes, is a reminder of you to be righteous. That's what he said. He said, that's what I tell you always when you got your fringes on, is a reminder of you to be righteous, to keep my Torah instruction. And they will remind you to do that. That's what he just said. 22 verse 5 of Deuteronomy. 22 verse 5 of Deuteronomy, and skip down to verse 12. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 and 12.
Deuteronomy chapter verse 5 and verse 5 and 12.
Yes, ma'am.
Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 and verse 12. Verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 12, thus shall make the fringes upon the four quarters of their bedroom. Where will thou cover thyself?
Mm-hmm. And he also says in Luke chapter 11, 1 through 4, what does he tell you? So they ask the question, because right now they got Lent going on, and Lent, they got everything going on, rosemary, beads, and everything. They working it out right now. Everybody working it out. But what it says in Luke chapter 11, 1 through 4?
The book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. Verse 1. And it comes to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his followers said unto him, Yahweh, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Verse 4, forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm. And what do it say in 22, verse 32? Now this is what he said. Now they ask the question, teach us how to pray, Yahweh. It's okay. That's a good question. I like when you ask me to teach. And what did he say in 22, verse 32 of Luke? Behind that. Verse 32.
Okay. Luke chapter 22. Verse 33, read.
32. Verse 32. Make it verse 32.
Luke chapter 22, verse 30. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother.
You see? He said, now when you get on your feet, he said, I'm praying that you do the right thing, like since not on account. We praying that you will, even a lot of the most prayers, that you will let that one out of Satan go and do the right thing. You know, we praying to do the right thing before it's too late. Because he made a statement over here in 15:16 of Matthew. He made a statement in 15:16 of Matthew. What he says in 15:16?
Book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 16. Matthew 15:16. And Yahweh said, are you also yet without understanding?
He said, is you going to remain without understanding? He got something written in his book, said, are you going to remain without understanding? You can't order the water and say, hold up the wet. And Malachi 3, verse 7 through 13 says what? In a closing statement. What it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 through 13. He said, if you're going to continue to remain without understanding, you need understanding. And the six anointed camps is here to give you understanding what's written in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 through 13. What it say?
Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 to 13. Verse 7, even from the day of your father, you are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Yahweh of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein shall we rob thee, and tithe and offering? Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, wherewith, said the Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cease her fruit before the time. In the field, said the Yahweh of hosts. Verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Yahweh of hosts. Verse 13, your words have been faulted against me, said the Yahweh. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee?
Mm-hmm. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, in closing statement. He said, your words is stout against me. He said, your words, he said, you ask, well, why, how is that word so stout against you? Because what he's telling you to do, and he passes it on to the seer to tell you what to do, you stout against him. You got to do the Bible. Do the Bible to receive the blessing. Because he said when he come back, will he find you doing what he told you to do? You is robbing Yahweh but not paying your tithes and your free will offerings. You need your own land, food, banquet hall. You're dragging your feet. Step up to the plate. And Yahweh said, prove him wrong that he won't step up and help you. But you don't believe him. But you hear the scriptures. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6 and 7 in closing statement. Come on.
2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth charity shall reap also charity. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7. Every man according as he hath proposed in his mind, so let him give, not grudging or necessity. For Yahweh love a cheerful giver.
That's Mother E. Mother Z coming out of Camp One. Closing statement, Mother E. Closing statement is all yours until we get back on this tomorrow. But part number 23, but it's 22. You're on the clock. Come on.
Thank you, praising Yahweh for another class. Thank you, praising Yahweh for this year. And thanking and praising Yahweh for his people that's attending the class. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. That's Mother E and Mother Z. It's closed by. Then one thing, C. Ray, we come to pray you from your heard the check of information, and now we're going to see how it balanced out according to the Bible. You got scholars, you got all types of big-time dignitaries in this room or this packed audience. But we're going to show you soundly. The only message that the world needs to hear is from the six anointed camps, because we've been anointed to do this job, C. Roy. This is our job to do, because we is the only group that is ordained by Yahweh to take care of his business, because we use the name YHWH. And the big dignitary, Craig Evans, pull him up on the computer. He says it's not just to him to find out one thing. He found some books, ancient Greek. And he said what was surprising about it, they had the name of the sacred name in there, YHWH. That's the only name that gives you salvation, see, right here. So we're going to leave it like that until we meet again tomorrow. And we'll get back on this fiery destruction of Christianity, the great beast, and the Roman Catholic Church. And we go on to the network and get on the international line with the scholars right now as we speak. Shalom, everybody. Until tomorrow.